Welcome into Diamonds in the Desert. I'm Jordan Hamm. Thank you so much for all the great feedback on the John Ryan Murphy podcast. Seemed like quite a few people liked that one. That was a fun one to put together and a fun story, and appreciate John Ryan Murphy for sharing his perspective on one of the greatest closers, greatest baseball players of all time. I'm going to focus this one here on the Adam Jones signing for the Diamondbacks. What does this mean for Ketel Marte? What does this mean for the lineup? How much does this change things for the Arizona Diamondbacks? So we'll start things off. Adam Jones has been on my radar for quite a while this free agency, and I couldn't really understand why he was not receiving much attention via free agency. And when you look at various guys that signed contracts early on in the offseason, it didn't seem like they were that far off from what Adam Jones was talent-wise. You look at Andrew McCutchen, who signed a pretty big deal with the Philadelphia Phillies. And I saw this on Twitter. I apologize for not remembering who exactly it was, but they equated, age-wise, talent-wise, they're not that far off. But McCutchen got this multi-year deal, 3 years, $50 million, and Andrew Jones gets $1 million, or 1 year, $3 million. For me, I think it's a no-brainer for the Arizona Diamondbacks to go ahead and grab him. I actually wrote about this on February 8th. It's the one time I was probably looking ahead, so I'm going to talk about it because I have been plenty wrong on some other predictions or ways they could go and that sort of thing. So, but look, there was a hole, not a hole in center field, but depth issues potentially. And you were taking one of your best defenders in Ketel Marte and moving him in a new position. And he could have been very good. I watched him a couple of times and he played very well in center field. But you like kind of having that option of bringing him back to the infield if need be. And I think that this is a move that really helps the Diamondbacks because, one, there's really no downside. If things go poorly, it's 1 year. It's $3 million. Big deal. Based on everything I've read, he's a great clubhouse guy, great leader, really involved in the community, obviously has been with Baltimore since 2008. But he's a guy that has been to five All-Star games, can be a run producer. There's a really good stretch where you could chalk him in for over 25 home runs and over 80 RBIs. You know, what else can you ask for from him? Last year, hit 281, 15 home runs, 63 RBIs. Obviously, a step back defensively, a step back as well. The analytics don't show great stuff for him in center field, but I think that it's a nice tool to have with the analytics and what he brings to the table. But I'm not going to, say that he's a bad defender now because he has been so, so good for so many years. And when you think about pairing him with a David Peralta, who's very good in left field, and a Steven Souza Jr. in right field, that is a lot of ground that they can cover. So if there is a lost step for Adam Jones, I think Peralta and Souza Jr. can certainly make that up. I think the down RBI numbers, was playing on a really bad team last year. This is one of the worst teams ever, the Baltimore Orioles from last year. Guys just didn't get on base for him. He took a step back home run wise, but he can still put the ball on the screws. So I think that, again, this is a no-brainer. And I think that this is actually going to help Ketel Marte quite a bit because, if you listen to podcasts from a couple weeks ago, I said I hated the thought of him playing center field, or the move to center field, I should say. Now I love it. What's the difference? The move to center field and him being kind of funneled through there every now and then, that's no longer out of necessity. You know, Mike Hazen talked about at the start of the offseason last year, or this current roster, having a bunch of CO-type guys, Chris Owings-type guys. All of a sudden, that maximizes Ketel Marte's CO-ness, I guess we could call it. Where he's able to play both middle infield positions, probably in a pinch could play third base, and then you can move him to center field too. So he's going to find the field a lot. And that's one thing that Torrey Lovello talked about yesterday on Ketel Marte's versatility and how that can affect him.
Ketel's versatility allows Cattell to play second base one day and insert somebody like Adam Jones into second into center field. The very next day, his versatility could wind him or put him in center field and allow us to play somebody as valuable as Wilmer Flores. So that's the value of moving Cattell around, and that's how I'm viewing it. I'm not necessarily looking at total games played at each spot. It's that particular matchup on that day. Cattell's versatility is going to allow somebody to get in the game that can be a hired sniper or could be somebody that's going to go out there and have a great game because of the matchup.
And when talking to Adam Jones about his role on the team, he said he wasn't trying to be a savior or anything like that. There are established veterans on this team and in this outfield, and he just wants to come in and help younger players.
Played in the East for a long time. Obviously, they always, you know, crown that the toughest division, but I think every division is tough. You got Greinke here who's been around. You got veteran presence here, so it's not like, you know, I'm coming in and I'm a savior type of way, but I think I can help a lot of young guys, you know, especially position players, because, you know, pitchers and position players, a little weird relationships. But I think I can help the position players and the pitchers just – with a mindset of positivity, of perseverance, you know, grind it out. We all going to go through body aches, soreness, pains, and all that kind of stuff. But posting, being ready, being on the top step for your teammate, all the little things that, you know, not everybody's going to hit a 3-run home run, all that kind of stuff. But the little things I think I can help with. And, you know, always pushing the guy next to you, pushing your teammates. That's how you become a successful team and franchise.
So as we look at the lineup, I asked Torey Lovello yesterday about where he sees him kind of, you know, Adam Jones being in this lineup. Is he going to be kind of in a run producer role, which he usually is, or could he move kind of up in the lineup and be a table setter? We saw David Peralta do that in last season. Or could he potentially protect some of these guys, some of the, you know, the Jake Lambs, the Steven Souzas of this group, and maybe hit like 5 or 6, you know, somewhere in the range of Eduardo Escobar, and kind of be more of a protector. And it's quite funny. Torey Lovello had plenty to say on that one.
I mean, he's a proven run producer, and he hits for power. He's just a quality hitter, and nothing in his game is really backed up, and that's how we're viewing it. I haven't yet written down a lineup with his name in it yet. I've thought about it for the past 24 hours, thought about it a lot, but I haven't yet constructed a lineup. And they're all my personal lineups that I'm kind of walking through. Do you guys know who John Nash is? Does that name ring a bell?
Oh, John Nash is the
Beautiful Mind.
Beautiful Mind.
Boom. Yeah. Beautiful Mind.
you see.
Okay. That's what's happening to me at night. Yes. And I'm walking around with a pile of papers falling out of my hands throughout the course of the day. That's where I'm at as far as the lineup and construction. I haven't yet formatted anything, but I can assure you that as we get closer to opening day, that I'll start to lock down on something.
So overall, I think that this move makes the Diamondbacks a much better team. Obviously, the best days are behind Adam Jones, but I think there's still plenty left in the tank, and he's just been a victim to a very tough free agency landscape where so many people have been waiting to get signed, and established veterans and accomplished veterans, and, you know, a 5-time All-Star, 4-time Gold Glove player, like, that's... what else can you ask for on a 1-year deal, small contract? Like, this is the type of move that Mike Hazen has shown he can pull the trigger and improve the ball club. So overall, I think this is a huge move. In future Diamonds in the Deserts, we're going to talk about kind of the way the landscape of the lineup's going to be, and maybe have some potential guests talk about their experiences on the Diamondbacks or their viewpoints on the Diamondbacks as well. So thanks so much for tuning in to Diamonds in the Desert. Make sure to like, subscribe, review, any of that other social media jargon. Appreciate you listening, and always make sure to check out Sports 360 AZ for all your Diamondbacks coverage.